This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Please stand if you're able for a responsive call to worship. Come, let us worship and praise God. The Lord is our shepherd, our guardian, and our guide. Celebrate the many ways in which God cares for our lives. Green pastures and silent still waters beckon us and comfort us. Even through difficulties happening in our lives, still God is with us. Even when it seems that the world has nothing to offer but suffering and pain, it surrounds us with God's love and bounty. Surely God's mercy accompanies us on our journey, and we will dwell in God's house forever. Amen. With joy, we come this day to the house of the Lord. God provides for us abundantly, even when we doubt and fear, even when we turn away. God is faithful. Open our hearts today, O Lord, to hear your word for us, that we may become faithful disciples of our Lord all of our days. Amen. The first reading this morning comes from the Old Testament Book of Psalms. Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known of all the Psalms. It was one of the memorization verses that I learned growing up in the church. Now, as an adult in this hectic world, I can better appreciate the assurances that God is always near as he invites us to lie down and enjoys peace and quiet as he watches over us. God is my shepherd, so I have everything I need. God tells me when to rest in the beautiful fields. He takes me to quiet streams and makes my soul new. God leads me down good paths because God's way is true. When I walk through the valley of shadows of death, I won't be afraid because you won't leave me for even a step. You comfort me by showing me the way. You spread a feast before me, no matter what people say. You pour oil on my head to show that I am yours. You fill my cup up so high that it overflows. You send goodness and mercy with me wherever I go, and wherever I go, you are always my home.
Today's second scripture reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she became so ill that she died. After they washed her body, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two people to Peter. They urged, "Please come right away." Peter went with them. Upon his arrival, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood beside him, crying as they showed the tunics and other clothing Dorcas made when she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room. Then he knelt and he prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, silence our hearts. Use me to speak your words of new life and allow us to be the miracle that you want us to be through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the theme of this Easter season, not just Easter Sunday. Yes, we spoke those words a few weeks ago. But the resurrection isn't just about that one day. What does it mean for us today, though? What does it mean for us to proclaim that God raised Jesus from the dead? 2 weeks ago, I concluded my sermon by naming one connection. I said, as we embark on our Easter journey, a 50-day journey of celebration, reflection, and renewal culminating on Pentecost Sunday, we are called to remember that we are witnesses and to reflect on what that means. Our witness is not only through what we say we believe, but through our everyday, ordinary actions. My challenge question for us to wrestle with not only a couple of weeks ago, but this entire Easter journey and hopefully our entire lives, I ask this question. How might we name and set aside the expectations of this world and live out a witness of full expectation promised to those who believe? We are witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that all who believe will have life in his name. Yes, we are witnesses. Our lives do need to show this gift of change, this gift of forgiveness. Our lives need to show miracles of new life. But what does that really look like? I've heard several examples of that in conversations this past week, even this morning before worship. That phrase, God raised Jesus from the dead, it echoes throughout so much of the Acts of the Apostles. Sunday after Sunday, we hear this same message in varying ways. Resurrection life is here and now. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. Faith is seeking to be born, reborn. We hear the same message, that same question that the disciples heard. Why are you standing here looking up into heaven? As if to say, get out there. Start showing this new way of life. The Acts of the Apostles is a collection of stories, testimonies from this early disciple community who in the midst of everyday, ordinary moments of life, they became aware of the resurrection promise in new ways. And just like them, we need to be ready for those surprising moments. The ways in which God's salvation breaks forth afresh as the Spirit shapes new identities, new configurations of what it means to be God's people. Today's reading from Acts gives us an example of what this miraculous new life looks like. And for most of us, I think, when we hear in this story the details of a woman who had physically died and was brought back to life by God through Peter, we don't know much about this Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, but we know the story of her miracle. We know that it's told within many other miracles. If we look back just a little bit before this, remember Saul had been changed from this man who was doing horrible things to everyone who followed Jesus into one of the greatest missionaries for Christ the world has ever known. And then just prior to this, Peter heals a paralytic, which that caused Tabitha's friends in a nearby town to come over there and get Peter and beg him, plead him, you've got to come with us. And then the final verse of today's reading gives a hint to the next miracle that happens, the baptism of Cornelius' household and the Holy Spirit being poured out on all these Gentiles, outsiders. We read in Acts 11:18, so then God has enabled Gentiles to change their hearts and lives so that they might have new life. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems that most Christians in today's world, we get stuck trying to figure out how to have this sort of resurrection power, being able to bring a person who is dead back to life. Sometimes I feel like I want to be able to have that power. And I think maybe in some ways it's somehow trying to prove, validate my faith. Sometimes I hear people make comments, oh, well, you must not have enough faith if you can't do X, Y, Z, whatever it might be. Do you know what I've learned about these miracles of new life? They're not about me. And sometimes these miracles aren't the way that I would perceive them, the way that I want them. This story today, it isn't really about Tabitha or Dorcas. It isn't even about Peter. It isn't a model of action for you or I to read through and to study and to figure out what do we need to do so that we can enter into a room, drop to our knees, pray, say a word, and command someone back to life. It's not some model with three easy steps and then you too can raise someone to life. That's not what it's here for. That is just one small little factor of this story. And there's a long line of miraculous stories all around this, that this is part of it. In the full narrative of faith in the triune God, there's really very few accounts of bringing the dead back to life. The physically dead, at least. What truly matters, the main point of all of these miracles of new life, it's giving testimony to the power of God at work in whatever way that new life happens. Telling the stories of change, telling stories of forgiveness, telling stories of new life, new way of living. As I was preparing for today's message, I've been searching all over the place for the perfect little sermon illustration that would present for us a clear contrast to a common view of these miracles, quote unquote, of death back to life, or even near death, producing new life. I just couldn't seem to find the right one. I had a few that were close, and I was like, well, okay, I'll plug one of those in here. And then, as it happened, I'd kind of given up and set that aside, and this is how God usually works in our life once we let go. Stop trying to manage and control it all and get what we want. I was watching some videos on this new viral dance challenge that's out there for Forrest Frank's Your Way is Better song. If you haven't seen that one, it's really kind of fun. Maybe we should do that as a congregational liturgical dance. Look up Forrest Frank, Your Way is Better. It's awesome, really good. Anyway, I was looking at this dance and trying to figure out what are the moves of it and see if I could do it, and not really. But then all of a sudden, this other video popped up. And usually I just go back and watch that other video again, trying to learn it. And all of a sudden, a new one popped up. And this one that popped up, it caught my name. or caught my attention. All of a sudden, here's this middle-aged guy, lots of tattoos on his arm, just sitting there, very relaxed. And the first words were, "I'm quite controversial on one point. I don't believe God wants to heal me." Wham! That had me hooked. And I watched. As it went on, found out his name is Carl. Carl became a Christian about the age of 18. He studied engineering, then he went into the finance field, and then went into ministry. He did youth ministry. He planted all sorts of churches. He was head pastor at a large, large church. He did all sorts of evangelism, speaking all over Europe, traveling around. God used him to found several different movements. God was using him in mighty ways. And then right there at what we might call the prime of his career, when everything was going just the way that we would think it should be, he was all of a sudden diagnosed with both early onset Parkinson's disease and diabetes. And it began working against him, and he could no longer be able to speak and walk. And people now are asking him questions all the time. "You spent 30 years serving the church, serving God. Aren't you angry that this has happened? Aren't you questioning your faith?" His response is a true witness to the miracles of new life. He sees this as a gift from God. And he says that with authority, conviction, quoting 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest on me.'" People often criticize him for not praying enough for healing from his Parkinson's. And in one of his responses in this video, he says with a slight grin, "Some of these people that are talking to him saying, 'Oh, you got to pray harder to be healed from Parkinson's,' they're wearing glasses." And he's thinking, "Why don't you pray for your own eyesight, brother, before you pray for my Parkinson's?" Why is it that we focus on just certain things? We focus so much of our attention on that which we perceive to be needing divine healing, to be bad, wrong, whatever it may be, causing us to be like the people that the rest of the world tells us we should be, rather than praying for God to use us in whatever way that God might want to further the kingdom. Carl goes on to point out in the video that we're all going to die someday. We're all going to be given a new body. Well, what do we do with this life? We're called to glorify God by living joyfully. Living joyfully even if you have a progressive degenerative disease. Carl believes that he would not have been able to use the gifts and desires that God has given to him of engineering, finance, and faith if he didn't have early onset Parkinson's disease. Because not too long ago, Carl, in the midst of all of his struggles, his inability to be able to communicate like he wanted to, all of a sudden, God spoke to him, and God gave him insight. And he's designed a device that gives him relief. It's a device that mimics the heartbeat of a mother's womb that he wears on his wrist. And as soon as he turns it off, he can't talk, he can't walk or anything, but when he turns it on, he's almost normal, quote unquote. Most times, healing comes in ways that we don't expect. Sometimes the greatest miracles of new life are not the ways that we anticipate them. Sometimes healing comes to us without the worldly defined desire of a cure. Sometimes it's in the midst of that pain, suffering. The miracles of new life are about God's love, about being shown God's love and forgiveness in the midst of the illnesses and brokenness that we continue to carry with us. We give witness to the resurrection and the miracles of new life in the ways that we respond to people in need, the ways that we share the love of God. That we know, that is part of our way of thinking about being Christians. But what we, as people here in the modern West, who have so many blessings, what we truly need to learn is how we give witness to the resurrection and miracles of new life in the ways that we accept the love of God from others who are in need. Not that we have anything to give, but that we have everything to receive. In the ways that we set aside our power, our desire to control, to manage, to be a blessing for others, and to simply receive the love of God from those whom the world has declared to be unhealthy, broken, unworthy. We need to break out of relationships that have become transactional, where we turn others into commodities, we turn ourselves into commodities. If I do this for them, then, and simply be present. Allow the worldly desires to be crucified, to have those little death moments that I've talked about. And allow those worldly desires to be resurrected into a joyful way of living, even as we might continue to walk through the valleys of darkness. God raised Jesus from the dead. God wants to raise you and I to live a new life of the resurrection, to be different than the world around us. May we become miracles of the new life that has been offered to us by Christ's death and resurrection. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There are many ways that we are a part of helping to bring about God's kingdom, to show God's love, to help provide these new miracles of life for people. In order to do many of those, they cost money. In order to do those, it also takes commitment from us. I invite the ushers to come forward to collect God's tithes, our offerings. And no matter what you put in the plate physically, financially, may you place yourself there to be used and to be given new life.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.